Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have to confer with the Qataris, who have told me over and over again that Hamas is a humanitarian organization. Maybe they could use their influence.
This is The Savage Nation. We're living in the maddest of times, the most perplexing of times. And if you don't understand what's going on in the world, it's because the people who are running the world are ruining the world. Here is Nancy Pelosi, one of the most powerful women in the world, in the midst of what's going on in the Middle East, saying that her friends in Qatar tell her that Hamas is a humanitarian organization, and she says it believing it to be the truth. This is the same lunacy that we heard when she kissed the feet, or washed the feet, rather, of illegal aliens pouring over the border. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Things are so bad in the world that I must turn to an ancient source of prophecy for what will happen. And it's written as follows: "For they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." Welcome to the Savage Nation. They sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. If you look at the latest pictures coming out of the Middle East, you see dense black clouds of smoke coming out of Gaza, as the Israelis have now targeted and destroyed a power plant. And the oil in that power plant has gone up in black smoke. And so you have to ask yourself a question. When I say to you the Bible indicates that there's an answer to what is going on and what will happen, I have to ask you, who will reap the whirlwind? Will it be the Palestinians and their Arab supporters? Or will it be the Jews and their Western supporters? For they now sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. What does that mean? Do you have to be a biblical scholar to understand the question? Who has sown the wind, and who is reaping the whirlwind? You understand what I'm saying to you? Here in the country that we live in, we have what approaches psychosis. Obama gave a speech the other day where he thanked Muslims for, quote, building the very fabric of our nation. I'm not making this up. Now, many people have said Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. Of course he's a Muslim. Both fathers were Muslims. Both his biological father and his adopted father were Muslims. If your father were a Muslim, you'd be Muslim. It doesn't mean that you're a terrorist. It means that you're a Muslim. That's all. Of course he's a Muslim and he's sympathetic to Muslims. But what he should understand is Israel has Muslim allies. They're called Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Maybe Obama can understand that part of his Muslim heritage. Maybe he could say, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but there are Muslims who support the destruction of Hamas instead of taking the side of the terrorists, which is what appears is happening under John Ketchup Kerry. On the occasion of a religious holiday, a Muslim holiday at that, he puts out a statement, says, I'm reading it to you now. I'm not making up a single word here on the program. Not one word. He said, EID, a Muslim holiday, reminds us of the many achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy. I didn't know that George Washington had a prayer rug. I did not know that Ben Franklin had a prayer rug. I did not know that Jefferson used the prayer rug to pray to Mecca. But see, that's a product of my lack of education. I was not taught that Washington and the others, Jefferson, Franklin, and the other founding fathers, had prayer rugs that all were used to get on their knees and pray to Mecca. You see, it shows you how important an education is. I did not have the education that Obama had in Indonesia, where he must have learned that Muslims built America. I never knew that. It just shows you how bad my education was. That's your president. Now you understand why the world is in turmoil. But it gets even worse. He's giving a speech in a moment on the Ukraine. Now, why is he talking about the Ukraine when his policies have led to the destruction of Libya? Remember that? You remember what Gaddafi said before they killed him? He said, don't kill me. He said, if you do, Libya will descend into chaos and the warlords will take over as they have done in Somalia. Hillary Clinton said, we came, we saw, he died and laughed. Remember Hillary Clinton with Gaddafi as he begged for his life? We came, we saw, he died. And the four horsewomen of the apocalypse cheered. And the band played on. And the Muslim sisterhood applauded. We came, we saw, he died. That was Gaddafi. Libya went up in smoke. It's now descending into a pirate state. What other nations has Obama touched that have been destroyed? Well, can you name those that he's touched that have not been destroyed? So now he's trying to gin up a war with Russia. I was shocked yesterday coming back from L.A. on a plane to read a newspaper where he's trying to start a war with Russia because they violated a nuclear arms treaty in 1987. I swear to God, I'm not creating this. He says they violated a nuclear arms treaty before he was president, and therefore they've committed some grave crime, and that he's very upset. And he's going to speak on that in a moment. He's not talking about his policy failures in Libya, Egypt, Syria, Gaza. Everywhere you turn, he's turned the world into rubble. So what is he going to do? He has to make more rubble. There's a Marxist statement that says, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. In this case, he's trying to break every egg on the planet and make a new scramble called the Obama World Order. The Obama World Order. And that's what we're living through. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. The show that everyone in the news business listens to, I happen to know it for a fact. They all wait every day pregnantly to hear what I'm going to say. And I'm glad that you do. You don't have to acknowledge it. It doesn't matter to me. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. What does that refer to? It's from the Bible, Old Testament, Hosea. They sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. Is that the Palestinians or the Israelis? Who's going to reap the whirlwind? The New Living Translation is they have planted the wind and will harvest the whirlwind. English Standard Version is for they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. New American Standard Bible says for they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. King James Bible says, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. Holman Christian Standard Bible says, indeed they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. International Standard Version, because they sow the wind, they will reap the windstorm. The Net Bible says, they sow the wind and so they will reap the whirlwind. What does that mean? God's Word translation says the people of Israel plant the wind, but they harvest the storm. I can go down the list. Who has sown the wind? And who is reaping the whirlwind? We're living in biblical times. Now, many of you laugh at this. Many of you think the Bible is a dead document that has no meaning. Okay, that's fine. I'm not here to sell you on the Bible any more than I'm here to tell you that marijuana is a toxic poison that will destroy you and kill your life. If you want to dance around the golden calf, keep dancing around the golden calf. It means nothing to me. All I can do is give you one man's opinion. An opinion that is rooted and founded in my vision of what a nation is built upon. A nation is built upon and defined by its borders, language, and culture. My definition of a nation. And it's intriguing to me that our administration seems to know that when it comes to Guatemala, there's a border and a language and a culture. When it comes to El Salvador, they have a border, a language, and a culture. When it comes to Mexico, oh, they know that Mexico has a border, a language, and a culture. But when it comes to this sad sack broken nation, dying like a dead calf whose throat has been cut, this nation no longer has any borders, language, or culture because these Satanists in the White House have destroyed this nation. I don't know what's left of it. I was riding back from the airport yesterday after my little trip to L.A., which I'll tell you about at another time, and I was trying to understand what it sounds like when I listen to other radio shows, including my own, when I'm not on the air. And when I hear Obama being attacked, I actually turn the radio off. It becomes boring. It's not that it's wrong. He is everything that everyone says about him, but even more. Yeah, he's even worse than that, but listening to it makes it difficult. It's like listening to your parents fight. Remember when you were a child and your parents were screaming at each other? What did you do? You went into the bedroom and you turned on your headphones, your music, and you put on your headphones. You didn't want to hear it anymore. And when you listen to the bashing of Obama, which, by the way, is justified, but it's bad radio. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's justified, but it's terrible radio. It's not good. It's not good because you can't listen to it after a while. You say, yes, I've heard it. Yes, he's horrible. Yes, he never should have been elected. Yes, he should be thrown out of office. Anybody but him. But I don't want to hear it anymore. Well, maybe I will tell you why I'm telling it to you. So just a quick side note, as you call 855-407-282, it's very interesting to me why people have turned off talk radio. I'll give it to you in one little jewel of a story. L.A., beach town, south of Los Angeles, one of the nice beach towns near Manhattan Beach. Go to dinner, a local cheap Italian restaurant where the sauce is high and caustic, where the meat is thick and full of cholesterol. Check tablecloths. In other words, not a Beverly Hills ripoff tourist trap. Okay. Coming back, we order an Uber taxi. We had to go about a mile. I didn't want to walk. I had sandals on. One of the girls had high heels on. It was windy. So the Uber taxi comes, picks us up, takes us up the strip about a mile. We get out on the street, and I say to the taxi driver, "Thank you very much. How much do I owe you?" In my normal stentorian command voice, in the dark now, and she says, it's on the credit card, $3. A man yells out from a balcony in the dark, "Doctor, how are you? Where's Teddy?" I look up. I can't see anybody there. And I say in the darkness to the balcony like Romeo and Juliet, "Friend or foe?" And he says, "Friend, we love you, doctor, but I don't listen to you anymore. I turned the radio off last election." "How are things in the world, doctor?" said the man on the balcony in the beach in the dark. And I said to him, "Well, tune in every day because things have gotten worse." And he says, "I know. That's why I don't listen anymore. But how's Teddy?" Now you understand why people have turned off the radio. Now you understand why these demons in the White House are able to get away with what they're getting away with. Now you understand why I'm going to try to avoid Obama bashing, because it's not any more entertaining than was Bush bashing, which became tedious, boring, and predictable. When I come back, I'll take some of your calls on Hosea 8:7. "For they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." Who does that refer to? I'll be right back.
We came, we saw, he died.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
We are continuing to work toward establishing an unconditional humanitarian ceasefire, one that could honor Eid, which begins now.
Oh, come on. Stop at the... I get it. That's the end of it. If they don't get off their hands and knees and stop catering to Islam, we're finished. Stop at the honoring Eid. How about honoring civility? Start with honoring humanity. Start with honoring the rule of law, moron. Nevertheless, I don't care about Kerry at all. Doofus, Barack Hussein O'Doofus, is about to give a speech on further sanctions against Russia. The world is blown up underneath his feet because of his incompetence and stupidity. And so what he's trying to do now is create a greater war now with Russia. It's not bad enough that the sanctions are going to hit us more than them. You see, this is an example of academicians running the country and running the world. They have no idea what the ramifications of their actions are because they've never had a lemonade stand. They've never worked a day in their life. They don't even understand what they're talking about. Oh, we'll put sanctions on Russia. I was reading the Financial Times today, and the headline is, "The West Risks Collateral Damage by Punishing Russia." It says, if you want to know how sanctions will affect the global economy, it is best to follow the money, not the flow of gas and oil. But the academicians in the White House, all of these left-wing fanatics who have never built a business or provided a service that anyone has ever needed, they've always been lifers inside a pension system, lifers in the university, lifers now in the government. They don't even know what their policies will do, let alone do they care. You think they care? The world's going up in smoke, so now they're going to alienate Russia, maybe start another hot war with Russia. That makes good sense, doesn't it? The world is on fire. Now they want a greater conflagration. Why? Because they're out of their league. They never should have been elected. I warned you from day one that this was a far-left academic administration, but you didn't listen to me. You said I was this. You said I was that. You blame me for being a right-winger. You didn't listen to my words. My words were correct. So now Obama's going to give a speech. Barack Hussein Odumbo is going to give a speech now, raising the stakes on Russia, increasing the sanctions on Russia. Why? Because Russia hurt us? Russia didn't do anything to us. So what is he getting involved in that for? What's that our business now about Ukraine? It's in their sphere of influence. Why are we involved with that situation? The answer is quite simple. It's about oil again. The oil interests want to steal that part of Ukraine that has shale, as I've told you maybe 50 times. And they want to convert the shale into oil, or rather natural gas, sorry. And they want to take it out of the earth. Now, the very same environmentalists who are on the side of sanctions against Russia, I suppose, will approve removing that product from the earth and turning it into gas, because it's good gas. If the Democrats frack, it's good fracking. If the Republicans want to frack, it's bad fracking. This is the kind of insanity you get when you have college girls running the world. Susan Rice, Samantha Powers. Susan Rice, college girl. Samantha Powers, college girl. These would be better off running the Kennedy School of Government because of the lunacy that goes on there. But now you have the Kennedy School of Government ruining the world. They're no longer in academia where they're giving lectures and going out to a Chardonnay lunch with salmon and something appropriate. A low-gluten lunch after talking about world affairs and then going back for a nice nap. But their policies are producing chaos around the world. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Who does that refer to? Who is going to be hit by the whirlwind? Israel or the Palestinians? Right now it's the Palestinians. I could argue it both ways. And by the way, I can see it both ways, incidentally. This is not to say that I think that the Israelis are wrong for defending themselves against the constant rocketing. They have no choice. Their back was to the wall. The one thing that came out of this event in Gaza is quite clear, and I said it first. There will never be a two-state solution in your lifetime as a result of the behavior of the Palestinians. And I said it first. It was copied last night by Dershowitz, in my opinion, almost word for word. Good for him. I don't care who copies my words, because I'm the only one to remember that the Palestinians have been given the nurseries, and they stole the motors and the hoses and broke down the nurseries and took the billions of dollars in aid and spent it building tunnels, which killed 160 Palestinian children who built the tunnels for them because they were little and could get into the holes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Part of it is that Gaza's pretty small and it's very densely populated.
I don't know if you just heard that. Did you hear that? That's Hillary Clinton justifying Hamas putting its rockets in civilian areas. Do you need to know any more about her than you've already heard? Hamas puts its rockets in civilian areas because it's a small country. So that's why they put them in schoolyards. That's why they put them in hospitals. Because it's a small country. I mean, I have no choice. I have to put them around children. That's Hillary Clinton. So make no mistakes about where she's coming from and where she'll take this country. Don't look to her for any salvation. But then again, 90% of the Jewish vote will go to a Democrat, no matter who the Democrat might be. If Stalin came back and changed his name to, anglicized his name to Steele, that's the name of his name, was Joe Steele. Stalin means Steele, by the way. If Joe Steele ran as a Democrat on the same platform as Joseph Stalin, 90% of the Jewish people would vote for him. Because after all, he has a D next to his name. And if that offends you, maybe you'll wake up to the fact that your views are suicidal. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind, said the Bible. What does that mean? What does that mean? Who will reap the whirlwind? That's what I want to know. Let's begin in New York and work our way around the country on the Savage Nation. WABC, John, go ahead, please.
Yes, this whirlwind is talking about Israel back in 760 B.C. before it was taken into captivity by Assyria, when they went after their idol gods, and anything they sown was just blown in the wind because they turned against God and they didn't listen to him. So I just can't take a verse out of context and apply it to what it means today. I think a more pertinent verse would be Luke 21, verses 25 on down. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with...
All right, let's not have a whole biblical hour here. So your version is not that Israel will be punished again or that will be punished again?
Well, you talk about perplexity. This is exactly what this is. This is distress of nations with perplexity. There is no answer to this, Michael. There will
Correct.
Be no
All right, now we agree. There is no answer to this. I've said that the other day. This is biblical. It will end biblical.
That's it. You go to Ezekiel 38, and you see all of these nations will attack Israel, all of them. They all have in the past, but not all in unison. They all in unison will attack Israel, and that will be the end.
Well, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Why then, and you learned it on this show, and you know you did, this is the first time in Israel's history, and it's rather a unique difference in all of its wars. It's never had an Arab ally. It does now. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE support Israel. They want Hamas crushed, broken like a bug. Why?
In all of its wars, they had God by them. How can a little...
Stop. This is called news talk here. I'm giving you a news topic now. I use the Bible as a punctuation point, so let's not mix up the frame and the set. Why now are these big Arab nations supporting Israel is the question.
Well, they're not attacking them, so I guess, in fact, if they're not attacking them, then they're supporting them. They want
Correct. And not only is Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE not attacking Israel, they're egging them on. Why do they want Hamas wiped out?
Well, no more than they want Israel wiped into the sea. I mean, the friend of my enemy is my friend.
All right. Well, I don't agree with that. It's because Hamas is a bigger threat to Egypt. And Saudi Arabia and the UAE are as big a threat as it is to Israel. It's that simple. That's all. Okay, let's take another point of view. Go to Texas now on the Savage Nation, WBAP in Dallas. Saeed, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Savage? My question, my comment, sir, is that number one is that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Emirates, they are dictatorships, and they do not support democracy at all.
Wait, hold on. You mean Hamas supports democracy? Did I miss something?
Actually, in fact, yes. They won the 2005. They won the election. And then they were...
Saeed, please stop twisting reality. The people of Gaza hate Hamas. It's a mafia state. If anyone speaks out against Hamas, the family is killed. Don't make up reality. They hate Hamas for what they brought upon the people's heads. Hamas took over Gaza. Not every Palestinian wants this to have happened.
I'll give you an answer why they took over Gaza. One simple way, possible answer, because when they won the election, Fatah, the other group, the PLO, did not accept the fact, and then the European Union and the United States stopped paying the salaries for the Hamas and the new government.
But Saeed, Hamas's charter states that they will never accept the existence of a Jewish state. Isn't that correct?
It's vice versa. Same thing with Israel.
Well, I didn't ask you about vice versa. Let's talk about the vice rather than the versa. The Hamas charter says they will never accept the existence of a Jewish state. So how can anyone make peace with someone who says you shall die?
Because Israel, first of all, it's a racist state. No different than...
Whoa. Please. Look, I've heard all of this left-wing propaganda my whole life. And I will ask you a simple question, Saeed. You come to this country, you have freedom of speech, you can speak your mind, you can hate me, you can say anything you'd like. You can do the same in Israel. Could you do that in Gaza? Can you do that in Egypt? Can you do that in Lebanon? Can you do that in Syria? Can you do that in any of the other of your friendly Arab nations? And you know you can't. You'd be killed right away. So don't make up stories. Israel is the only semblance of a democracy in that whole hellhole area.
You're never gonna see it.
That's why you came here. That's why you fled your homeland, because you couldn't exist in it. So don't spread your vile poison in this country with your lies. Go back where you came from. Go back to the University of Texas to your chem lab and go practice bomb building 101. Now the great man is speaking. Let me hear the feed now. The warmonger is up there. He just came off the golf course. Why is he losing weight like this? What's he on? Raise the volume. I want to hear him talk.
Russia continues to support the separatists and encourage them.
Here he goes. War, more war. The warmonger. War is peace.
Images, along with information,
freedom is slavery.
Classified in recent days, show that forces inside Russia have launched artillery strikes.
How much can you take of this man? How much can you take of this liar?
Another major violation of Ukraine's
sovereignty. The world blew up under his feet. Now he wants more war with Russia. Does this make sense to you?
Continues to build up its own forces near the Ukraine.
The man is a maniac. and he's on something. I want to know if you'll agree with me. The man lost 30 pounds, and his eyes look like they're bugging out of his head. What's he on, a Diet Coke?
The border to these separatists. Now, since the beginning of the crisis in Ukraine, the United States has worked to build a strong international
coalition. I'm sorry, I want drug testing for everyone in Congress.
Ukraine. It's sovereignty.
I'd like to see the pharmacy that's running America.
It's right to determine its own destiny.
Here we go, its own destiny. Hey,
how
about my destiny, Obama? Ukraine has the right to determine its own destiny, but we don't. He brings them in on death trains from Guatemala. You hear this? You hear this? They have a right to their destiny now. Not us. We have no destiny, except being run off the rail by this psycho.
In recent days, I've continued
I told you I don't like
clashing
Obama. How much can you take of this liar? Can he just go away? Is there any chance he could just disappear? Can he move to Hawaii, take up golf?
Continued arming of the separatists.
Here he goes, war with Russia
several times with Prime Minister
You hear the lunacy?
Of the Netherlands,
you hear this? The world's got up in smoke. He wants more smoke. You want to hear him or me?
Yesterday, I had a chance to speak with Prime Minister Cameron of the United Kingdom.
Oh, another great genius. Cameron, another great genius of the West.
Germany, and Prime Minister Renzi of Italy.
Yeah, another great genius.
We are united in our view
that
the situation in Ukraine ought to be resolved diplomatically.
Oh, yeah, but we'll start a war first.
Ukraine is no threat to Russia.
Okay, let's stop. I don't want to hear anymore. I can't take it. His policies in the Middle East have resulted in this tragedy in Gaza. He blew up Libya. It's devolving into Somalia with warlords running Libya. He killed Gaddafi, and Hillary laughed. Syria, how many people have died in Syria? Why have you not heard anything about Syria? Why is it all about Israel now? Where's the footage coming out of Syria? I thought Syria was using sarin gas last year, and there was a humanitarian tragedy. How come that's off the radar now? Why is it all about the Jews? What about Syria? Muslim against Muslim. Kurd against Muslim. Muslim against Kurd. Where are the deaths in Syria? Where'd they go? They disappeared. The scapegoat is back. Again, the Jewish scapegoat. Convenient, isn't it? Fits the mold, doesn't it? Now Obama's not happy with the damage he's done, like a crazed child who takes things apart and can't put them back together again. He's now going to try and take the relations with Russia apart even further. He won't be happy until there's a hot war. And then he can send Samantha Powers, or let's say, I don't know who, to make it even worse. Another one of the academic lunatics who's biting their nails in a back room right now, probably bent over a toilet bowl vomiting from fear for what they've done to the world. They clean up, wash themselves off, take a medication to come out and give a speech, like all is well. They're out of control. It's a nation of idiots. A nation run by lunatics. And this lunatic is up there wanting a hot war with Russia. I ask you, what business do we have in Ukraine right now? Tell me, is anyone listening to the show think that we should maybe go to war with Russia over this? Should we get the Strategic Air Command fired up again? Should we get the old missile system, rusty missiles out of the silos? This lunatic just took down our nuclear arsenal to its lowest level since it was built. Well, not since it was built, but in 30 years. So now he's provoking the Russian bear, which has not destroyed its nuclear arsenal. What would you like to see, missiles flying? Until you wake up to the fact that we have the most dangerous left-wing administration in possible history. Why is he losing so much weight? His shoulders are narrow. It's a new suit. I see these things. I'm paid to observe. The man's shoulders, the top of this the guy's suit, the president, he's running top maybe a 38. 38 on the shoulders. If I were a tailor, my grandfather, may rest in peace, was a tailor. The shirt's a new shirt. He's down to about a size 13 and a half in the neck. The guy lost 30 pounds. The eyes are bugging out of his head. What's he on? Diet soda? Something's wrong here. You know, it reminds me of I'm sorry to tell you, there was a certain time in history when we knew the entire administration was on drugs. You remember Hermann Göring, how much weight he lost in Nuremberg when they put him into prison? They took him, they cleaned him up off morphine. I'm not saying that's the drug of choice here. When Hermann Göring was in his heyday under Hitler, he weighed about 300 pounds with the staff in his hand, walking around with a trench coat. Then they put him into Nuremberg to stand trial for his crimes against humanity. They cleaned him up. They put him on a nice prison diet. He lost about 150 pounds. What's going on here with this picture? I don't get this. I'd like to know what he's on. I want to see if I get some. I need to lose some weight. I'd like to know what the... You know what? This would be a pretty good book. The Presidential Diet. Lose 50 pounds in 5 months or your money back. Can I get my nation back, though? Because that's what I'd like. He tells me that the Ukrainians just now have a right to their own sovereignty. And when you say sovereignty to him about America, there's no answer. The eyes go blank. Okay, put him back up. I can take it again. The dog went back to sleep.
The independence of the Ukrainian people.
Here we go again. Bingo. I hit it again. Stop. I hit it right on the button. Again. Again, not the independence of the American people. Not we're going to stop the flow of illegals coming across the border. We've had too many come in. The beards and the tattoos are enough already. We're tired. We made a mistake. We made an error. We didn't mean it. We thought it would be few. Now it's many. No, we have no nation. They have a nation. Suddenly, Ukraine has a nation and sovereignty. We don't have one. No, no. Israel has no sovereignty either. Israel should have no borders, no language, and no culture. We should have no borders, language, and culture. But Ukraine, oh, yes, indeed, says the Presidente. Yes, they're entitled to their sovereignty. Is he taking a question now from one of the stooges? Let's hear it again. Fire away.
Russia arming separatists who are carrying out terribly destructive activities.
And you're arming illegal aliens on freight trains, okay?
Thereby undermining.
It's a bigger crime than Russia arming its own separatists.
The ability of Ukraine to govern itself.
Again,
peacefully.
Ukraine to govern itself. I'd like to govern myself. I'd like the illegal stuff.
The sooner that Russians recognize that the best chance for them to
and
have...
And the sooner that Obama recognizes that there's a country that he was given that he's ruining, the better off we'll be for the country.
Commerce, rather than trying to dictate what the...
Oh, you mean like you with your executive orders? Oh, that kind of dictation? I get it.
A vassal state to Russia.
A vassal state. We're a vassal state of Guatemala, man.
The sooner we can resolve this crisis in ways that doesn't result in...
I get back to golf. I get it.
...that we've seen in eastern Ukraine.
Thank you very much. Now I got to make it to the ninth hole before midnight.
Are sanctions going to be enough, and are you considering lethal aid for Ukraine?
Well, keep in mind, the issue at this point is not the Ukrainian capacity to outfight separatists. They are better armed than the separatists. The issue is, how do we prevent bloodshed in
well, the answer is simple. You got to kill for peace. Yeah, I mean, come on.
And
Barack, you grew up in the 60s, didn't you? You got to kill for peace, don't you?
To influence Russian behavior at this point.
So he started a new Cold War. Now he needs a new hot war.
The fact that we've seen Europeans...
Okay, I get enough of it. I mean, you know, look, there's a limit to how much logic can carry in a world of illogic. There's a limit to how far reason can take you in a land where there is no reason. I'll be right back to reason with you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
This has to be something where we try to have the two-state solution, that we have to support. We have to support Abbas and his role as leader there. We have to support Iron Dome to protect the Israelis from the missiles. We have to support the Palestinians.
Woman is one of the most powerful women in the world, and that there's nothing we can do in this country to rid ourselves of these senile, semi-senile octogenarians and the academicians who are running the country. I'm just shocked. In the UK, they're cracking down on immigration. Liberal England is cracking down on immigration. They're cutting benefits. And here in this country, we're importing them. Did you see the shocking story this morning that you can make $7,000 a month if you take adult illegal aliens into your house? That's right. Your president, who is concerned about the sovereignty of Ukraine, says that through Catholic charities, I told you this, you didn't listen to me, the church is so corrupt that it's frightening. It stinks to high heaven. The reek of the church stinks to high heaven. God himself has to hold his nose from what the church has become. The theocracy has met the autocracy. One of my favorite syllogisms, I created it about 2 weeks ago, it's on michaelsavage.com. The theocracy has met the autocracy. And so the Texas-based nonprofit Catholic Charities is seeking foster families for the illegal immigrants from Central America. And you get monthly payments for housing adult illegal immigrants in your house. And you get $40 a day for each migrant they take in from the Catholic Charities. So you say, how does that add up? Well, you can house six immigrants at any given time, according to the federal law. Now, in addition to the $7,000 a month you can make by, for housing them, they get health care, education, transportation. This is the Savage Nation and Fidel's.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yes, indeed. It's tough to be in talk radio today without taking a real opinion. I mean, if you want to sit on the fence, then you may as well join the Republican Party. The fact of the matter is the world is on fire because of the incompetent academic Marxist administration that is running the country. To make matters worse, in the last hour, Barack Hussein Doofus Obama, in the last hour, gave a speech ratcheting up the Cold War with Russia, calling for increased financial sanctions against Russia because Russia will not accept the sovereignty of Ukraine. Now, we have a president who has destroyed the sovereignty of America, who is obsessed with the sovereignty of Ukraine. Can you figure that one out? I can. I read the Financial Times yesterday, and they said the West risks collateral damage by punishing Russia. Did you hear this? In terms of how Obama's sanctions will affect the West more broadly, Francesco Papadia, formerly at the European Central Bank, has estimated in a recent article that the impact on the EU will be about two-thirds higher than on the U.S. In other words, the sanctions that Barack Hussein Odufis has just imposed upon Russia. Odufis has just imposed sanctions on Russia, which will now affect the EU and the United States. Of course it will affect Russia. It will affect Russia, but the EU and the U.S. will suffer as well, according to the Financial Times. You understand that? Well, you may understand it, but the academics who are running America can't understand it because they've never, ever produced a service or a product that anyone needs. They've been lifers inside pension systems, like our president, like our governors, like our legislators. They have no idea what the real world is. And the world goes on. Here are the headlines on some of the papers that I took back with me on the airplane, LA Times. I don't know if you knew this. A rare lightning struck Venice Beach. I was on the beach. Strangely enough, God just missed me on that one. I wanted to go to Venice, but I didn't. I went south. And he threw a lightning bolt that struck a number of people and killed a 20-year-old man. I was on the pier at Manhattan Beach when the lightning struck. I don't know whether God was looking to hit me or what, but very unusual in Los Angeles. Lightning strikes killed a 20-year-old man. It's unbelievable. Israel-Hamas both ignore truces, says the LA Times. New York Times, even Gava truce is hard to win, Kerry is finding. Fear of Ebola breeds a terror of physicians. Now, this is an interesting story on the fear of Ebola. Because the Africans themselves, the uneducated Africans themselves, have banned doctors from their villages. They're smarter than the doctors themselves. You know the left-wing fanatics, the Doctors Without Borders? It turns out that they were spreading the disease themselves. So this is interesting coming out of Guinea. Eight youths, some armed with slingshots and machetes, stood warily alongside a rutted dirt road in an opening in the high reeds, the path to the village of Kolo Bangu. The deadly Ebola virus is believed to have infected several people in the village. Now listen to this. And the youths were blocking the path to prevent health workers from entering. We don't want any visitors, said their leader, a 17-year-old of the youth league. We don't want any contact with anyone. The others nodded in agreement and fiddled with their slingshots and machetes. Why are they doing that? Singling out the international group, Doctors Without Borders, the Africans said, wherever those people have passed, the communities have been hit by illness. Health workers here say they are now battling two enemies, the unprecedented Ebola outbreak, which has killed more than 660 people in four countries, and fear. fear. So here we go. That's number two. Want to hear number three? USA, throw it away. Gaza war rages as truces collapse. Lame duck time comes early for Obama. They're so wrong on that, it couldn't be more comedic. Imagine that. Lame duck time comes early for Obama. They're trying to set you up to make you think he's powerless. This is how devious these militant journalists are. Speaking of militant journalism, the New York Post has become upskirt journalism by what I see. Under Murdoch, I mean, I got nothing to lose. I'm banned from all of his outlets, so I may as well tell you what I think of him, as I've been doing for about 10 years anyway. The New York Post, which used to be a conservative newspaper, before it was given to one of his children to run, has become 90% upskirt journalism. Every story is... do I have to spell it out? That says the whole thing. Upskirt journalism, New York Post, under Murdoch. Period, end of story. That's all. They don't cover much. I don't understand it. I used to love the paper. I still go on it for the horoscope. You know, an occasional YouTube of a guy in a grocery store beating up a robber. They're good for that. So here's the question of the day. That's the good question of the day. You know the question of the day? You heard the question at the first hour. It's a good question. I don't think anyone wants to answer it. So let me go to another news story. Because this got me upset. I was in L.A., walking around Beverly Hills, had the meal. Terrible, terrible ripoff. My God, what would you expect? Good food in Beverly Hills? It's all a tourist trap, the whole city. It's set up for people from Japan looking for a Mouseketeer wearing a $12,000 shoe. So I stumbled on a slick magazine called Jewish Journal. And on the cover, they have a picture of a young man named Max Steinberg, 1989 to 2014. And it's a eulogy for a young Angelino of Jewish faith who had the guts to go over to Israel, join the IDF, become a paratrooper. And he's so good, he wound up in the Golani Brigade and he got killed. So you say, all right, well, I was shocked for Jewish Journal to even show someone with a machine gun. Actually, that was shocking because these are people who generally balk at a backfire. The liberal in America, if they hear a car backfire, they call 911 and take a Valium. So I was shocked that the front cover is that of a kid, young man, dead, with a machine gun and a uniform. So I opened it up and I said, oh, that's interesting. That's new for L.A. Huh, must be a conservative Jewish magazine. Lo and behold, I open it up, and 3 pages later, they're supporting the flood of illegals into the country. Three pages later, they support Israel's sovereignty, and they hate this country's sovereignty. Can anyone explain that to me? Why is it that liberals, particularly Jewish liberals, support the sovereignty of Israel and don't support the sovereignty of America? Can anyone explain that to me? Is that too difficult a question for someone to answer this? Here's the article. Serena Oberstein, Children at the Border. Serena Oberstein is the regional director at Bend the Arc, a Jewish partnership for justice. Now, once you hear the word justice, you know what that means, communism. Whenever you hear the word justice, it means communist leftist fanatic from hell. And formerly served as a Southwest regional director for J Street. J Street is the pacifist branch of Judaism. So these are the people who... they see the children coming over the border, and their immediate knee-jerk liberal response is they're like the children in the Holocaust. And they're in favor of bringing them all into America and giving them, homes and whatever. They have no concept of what it costs, what it's going to do to the sovereignty of the nation. And again, they're comparing it to the exclusion of Asian immigrants in the 19th century. Again, the Holocaust comes up. Every time it's the Holocaust. Again, it's the Jews on the St. Louis turned away. Again, the concentration camps. Again, it has nothing to do with reality. See, liberalism is a mental disorder. There's no other way to answer it. I have no other way to answer it. Whenever you have a story like this, the answer is simple. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That's the only answer. So the same magazine, the Jewish Journal, that supports the sovereignty of Israel, had no support for the United States of America's borders, language, and culture, none whatsoever. I don't know how to answer it to you other than liberalism is a mental disorder. Now you understand why I have no friends in Los Angeles. Now you understand why I have almost no friends in San Francisco. Now you understand why I am a man who does truly follow not only a different drummer, but I am the drummer. And a whole nation follows me on the radio. It's good enough for me. And so there's Jerry Brown going off to Mexico. on a boondoggle. And what you don't know about the great savior, Jerry Brown, is that he charged lobbyists $5,000 apiece to go with him to see if they can cash in on the flood of illegals coming into California and America. Here, I found it in the L.A. Times for Monday. Brown's retinue on trip includes lobbyists. Business leaders and advocates pay to join Governor Brown on his visit to Mexico. Price $5,000 to travel with the gov. And the crew of those traveling with Governor Brown includes solar company executives exploring Mexico's energy industry, farmers seeking new markets for their products, and some of Sacramento's most influential advocates, like former lawmakers Rusty Arias and Fabian Nunez. Why is that? What are they going there for? What do they want down there? I don't know what they want. Obviously, they want more illegal aliens to make certain that the Democrat socialist machine is forever. You know what I'm saying? Here's some other news stories that I have found. Governor Rick Perry doesn't want Texas to pay for troops he's ordering to the border. Texas Governor Rick Perry made the decision last week to bypass the federal government order 1,000 National Guard troops to help secure the state's border to Mexico, but he would rather not come out of the Texas budget. It is a crime, what they're doing, and we do need the National Guard. But the federal government is being asked to pay for his deployment of 1,000 troops, which will cost $12 million a month. How do you like that? I didn't. Things cost money. How do you like that? You wouldn't think. They definitely a true story there. Obama thanks Muslims for building the very fabric of our nation. You heard that one, didn't you? In his speech over the weekend for a Muslim holiday. He said that, let's see. Here it goes. He says, EID reminds us of the many achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy. He didn't mention Christianity once. He didn't mention that there's a Holocaust against Christians going on by Muslims in the Middle East. He didn't mention that there's genocide going on against Christians in the Middle East. Instead, he talked about the wonders of Islam. How do you like that? You wouldn't have known that George Washington had a prayer rug in the White House. I didn't know that. I missed that in history. I really didn't know that they had prayer rugs in the White House. I didn't know Ben Franklin, with the kite and the key and the electricity, was praying to Mecca all along and got his inspiration from Allah. I would have thought that they were devout Christians, but I guess I didn't read the right history books, the history books that Obama read in Chicago. So I ask you again, the Bible says in Hosea, if you missed it, and I don't want to go on, you know, stay on the Bible, but it's an interesting quote because I've thought about it in my own life. For they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. First of all, we all know what that means. But who? Who will reap the whirlwind, the Israelis or the Palestinians? Who will reap the whirlwind? It hath no stalk, the bud that shall yield no meal. In other words, a storm came through the area and the crops were wiped out. Now, why did that happen? Well, I know the Bible, biblical reason for that. God was mad that the Jews turned away from God. They started screwing around. They did dope or whatever they did in those days. Did a lot of wine, hung out, girls with girls, boys with boys, whatever. God got mad. So you say, look, man, I told you that's not the way to go. Get out of here with that biblical stuff. I don't believe that desert thing. What's this hallucination in the desert? What was it, a B3 deficiency, man? Go back. You know what I mean? Smoke some dope and leave me alone. God says, okay, you're not listening to me. So you have no value to me anymore because you're not following my laws. And I'm going to destroy you. Now, a lot of people believe that that's what's happening to America. They truly believe that in their heart of hearts, that we become such a dead, degenerate plant that we don't deserve to exist. That's a bad thing to think. You know, it's a very bad thing to think because that means what? Everybody deserves to be wiped out? That's so crazy. That's like the biblical admonition against self-pleasuring, where the guy did it and he wiped out the whole village because he cast a seed upon the ground. Does that make sense to you? I mean, what, you need some discernment here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There's no question that the world is in chaos and people are perplexed. And our job in radio is to give you a voice. And remember that. Talk radio is ultimately talk radio. You can't write a letter to an editor anymore and have it published. You know that. You've known it for 40 years. It's all left-wing gibberish. How often have you gotten a letter published? Remember years ago, I'd send letters to the editor of the New York Times, and if I got published, which was occasional, I would think it was such a big deal. How many people read it? Or didn't matter. Whereas if you get on to this Savage Nation show, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. Think about that. I mean, it's pretty amazing what radio is, the power of it. And considering the power of the stations I'm on, from San Francisco KSFO, New York WABC, MAL in Washington, LS in Chicago, BAP in Dallas, go up and down the line. I mean, I have the biggest stations in the country in drive time on the East Coast. So you benefit from that. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me, but there's no canned laughter. This is not a taped program. I'm live to you. And the fact of the matter is, you can be live to America. You can give your editorial. That's the value of talk radio, the last vestige of, frankly, the last vestige of freedom in the country. It's not staged. It's not scripted. So who shall sow the whirlwind? Let's take some calls right now on the Savage Nation. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. Let's go to Donna on WMAL. Donna, make it quick, though, because we're short of time.
Sure, Dr. Savage. I think what we're witnessing today is a spiritual battle, and I truly believe that the Jews are the chosen ones. It is crystal clear. Look at how they fit a microcosm for the world, how all the different faiths have been based in their country and live side by side. So none of us know the minute nor the hour, and you know, it will be interesting.
You know, but it's an interesting statement, the chosen people. What were they chosen for, though? What, to suffer? Well, I mean, what, chosen for what?
Chosen to maintain civility in the world. They are the West's last best hope. And they are an example.
Yes, but here's the problem. This is the terrible problem. The propaganda and the reality is a lot of civilians are dying, and they're all Palestinians. In other words, you could say it's all propaganda, that the Muslims put them in the way of, in harm's way. They're firing rockets from crowded areas. Nevertheless, there are real civilians dying, Donna.
Yes, it's a sad reality, and it's done deliberately because they want to use that.
Well, not all deliberate. Let's not get carried away and just buy the Israeli propaganda 100% here. Let's not say it's all deliberate. You know, in war, people die that you don't want to die. I mean, the firebombing of Dresden in World War II stands out as a horrible incident. But worse than that was the nuclear bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You can't argue that because Nagasaki was basically a munitions manufacturing city, all the civilians deserve to catch fire and die. That's what happened, though.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What has happened now is that we are seeing problems in a variety of places.
He is a lunatic.
Some of it due to globalization,
who destroyed
frankly,
Serbia.
Which has a
Madeleine Albright came back. Turn her off. Brisket Madeleine. The old brisket maker from Georgetown, Madeleine Halfwit. I don't know how she pops up every once in a while. It must cost her a lot of money to stop lobbying for China and give these speeches on MSNBC. But now she comes back, Miss Nasal, and starts lecturing us about the problems, or these problems in the world she discovered. By the way, Obama destroyed Gaddafi, remember? I remember Hillary laughed. We came, we saw, he died.
We came, we saw, he died.
I'm stunned. She wants to be the president. We came, we saw, he died. They didn't give him a trial because he had too much, you know, that would have come out. It's that simple. That's the same reason Saddam was executed immediately. We got rapists in America on death row for 33 years. But the leader of a nation, no matter how bad he was, they die like instantly. No trial. The rapists, they keep alive, all the liberals, 30, 35 years on death row. They kill 17 children and rape nuns. They keep them alive for 31 years on death row. One appeal after another from Harvard. But world leaders apparently die immediately if they're captured because they have too much, you know, too much to tell. So they kill Gaddafi. Before he dies, he says, wait a minute now. If you kill me, Libya is going to descend into chaos like Somalia. It'll become just warlords running the country. That's what happened. Now Obama is trying to start the same war with Russia now. Listen to this flashback. We have Obama on March 28th, 2011, where he's saying that the world will be better off with Gaddafi dead. Listen to clip 16.
Of course, there is no question that Libya and the world would be better off with Gaddafi out of power. I, along with many other world leaders, have embraced that goal.
Embrace.
And will actively pursue it through non-military means.
Okay, you got it? So this was during the Arab Spring heyday, when the academic leftists thought that the world would be safer with Pax Americana across the land. And so the world, he said there's no question that the world would be safer without a Gaddafi. Well, so they killed Gaddafi, and now you have Libya descending into chaos to the point that he had to remove all of his ambassadors from the embassy. No one remembers what he said in 11, let alone 2 days ago. Now we have Pelosi again attacking Putin. This is the same Pelosi who's attacking America every day with the illegals, telling us how we need them. Now she's attacking Russia for wanting, because he wants to support his sovereignty. Listen to clip 17 now.
Putin is going to do what Putin is going to do. And it won't add up in terms of statesmanship or leadership. As the president has said, Russia is now a regional power. Some of what we see comes from insecurity. Putin, for all of his, is insecure about Russia's role in the world now.
Who feeds this to these women? Who feeds this rubbish? Who is it who puts this in these Harridans' minds? Putin is insecure. Who started that one? Which academician came up with that? Would they get a psychologist from Brown University? Oh, well, the reason that Putin is doing this is he's an insecure man. That's why he rides a horseback half naked. That's why he goes hunting and he's insecure. Oh, that's brilliant. And the cuckoo clock picks it up like a sponge, like a 2-year-old child. Putin is insecure. Putin is insecure. Putin is insecure. Putin is insecure. Well, what's the latest word from the girls at the White House? What are the talking points for today, Samantha? Putin is insecure. Putin is insecure. Okay, I'm having my fun. Let's take some calls, see if you want to have some fun. And we'll go to WABC in New York City. Mike, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi. Actually, you mentioned Gaddafi. So basically, a year before Gaddafi was overthrown, John Kerry met with Gaddafi, and they were discussing oil deals, etc. And when he was overthrown, so to a certain extent, aside the fact that Gaddafi was a bad guy, he was betrayed by America. There was no interest in America to overthrow Gaddafi. There was no rationale.
Of course he was. Okay, so what else is new? Who else did America not screw under Obama?
Okay.
Can you name any person on the planet who was not screwed by Obama? Other than Guatemalans and El Salvadorans?
Well, they're being that
long. All right, so what's your main point now about Russia, I see?
So my point is that Assad, a little while later, when he's being overthrown, who does he turn to? He turns to Russia. Now, why does he turn to Russia? Because he understood that Russia will stand by their friends, unlike Gaddafi, who was meeting with Kerry, and he got screwed over and executed. So the Obama administration is very upset about that this regional power called Russia is trying to interfere with Mideast affairs. Remember, Obama said he was going to fire a shot across the bow
Can you get, Mike, I realize that you have a point to make, but you haven't made it yet. Please do so.
So my point is that Russia is being punished for getting involved in Mideast affairs.
And all right. So what is it that you're saying, that America should fight Russia or not fight Russia?
Well, I'm just saying that's the reason why it's happening, is because Russia got involved with Assad, and now they need to punish Russia by taking away the shale oil.
No, you don't even understand the whole picture. I'm going to say something no one said in radio yet, and I have to do it in a way that preserves my career, because every word that I'm about to say is fraught with danger. One of the main reasons Putin has been turned into Hitler is because of their social policies towards gays. You don't understand how deep this runs. You don't understand why Putin has suddenly been demonized to the extent that he's been demonized. You don't understand how insane this really is. There are far worse leaders on the planet than Putin. Far worse. And yet he's become public enemy number one in the minds of the average American. And the entire Democrat socialist establishment, again, talking points from Valerie Jarrett's White House, is Putin is insecure, Putin is Hitler, Putin is this, Putin is that, as though he has no nation that he's in charge of and no national interests. None. But the whole reason he's been demonized, pardon me, that's wrong. One of the main reasons he has been demonized to the extent that he has been demonized is because of his strong anti-gay policies in Russia. Period. That's one man's opinion. That's how I see it. I'm not saying you have to see it that way, but that's how I see it. That's why he's the enemy that he is. Now, you know that Islam condemns homosexuality. You know that Islam kills gays. You understand this. Islam performs, the radical Islam performs horrendous surgeries on young girls. You wouldn't call them, it's butchery. I don't want to spell it out graphically. They are now in Iraq now that your friends in ISIS, the friends of Bill Maher, the friends of Colbert, the friends of all of the government comedians, now that ISIS is in power, the friends of the government comedians on the channels, on the comedy channels, have nothing to say when women are being mutilated. 4 million Iraqi women are being mutilated, sexually mutilated. Mutilated, do you know what I'm talking about? I don't want to spell it out. Christians are being destroyed, decimated. Churches blown up that are 1800 years old, and the government comedians have nothing to say other than Boehner is bad. The government laugh-a-thon instillers have nothing to say other than Republicans bad. These are nothing but government comedians. I don't think you understand something. If you're a comedian on HBO, it doesn't mean you have a large audience. It means that the czars of Hollywood have decided that you're a good mouthpiece for their political viewpoints and that they pay you a big amount of money. It doesn't mean you have to have an audience. It's a subscription. So if I signed up for HBO because I like The Sopranos and now I like something else, I have to scan by the government comedian on the way to get that. It doesn't mean I watch the government comedian. They could have zero ratings. They could have 300 people watching the government clown, but he would still be on forever. You know, it's like Brian Gumbel has a sports show on television. I've never watched it in my life. I don't even understand if anyone watches it, but it's a guarantee. He could have three people watching it. He must make $9 million a year. Real sports with Brian Gumbel. I don't even know what he talks about, but he's on, right? It doesn't mean he has an audience. The czars of Hollywood, those with 500-foot yachts, 300-foot yachts, 350 feet, anyone with less than a 200-foot yacht is not in the czar category. He's just a small agent. But if you have a yacht bigger than 250 feet, you can enter the realm of the czars of Hollywood. They determine who the government comedians shall or shall not be. It's that simple. By the way, if you're a young person out there and you have conservative leanings, let me warn you, never, ever exhibit them in Hollywood, ever. Don't think you have a friend if they're asking you what your politics are. Say, I'm apolitical, I have no politics. Tell them that you believe in global warming, you're positive that the earth is about to drown, and that you're building a Noah's Ark. And one of the reasons you wanted to get into entertainment is to make enough money to build a Noah's Ark before the earth is submerged by water. Tell them that you hate Israel and that the Palestinians are the new victims of the world. Tell them whatever they have to hear. It's like going to college if you're going to Hollywood. See, in college you had to say those things in order to pass a course, because the mean-faced, clipped-haired women who run the colleges certainly wouldn't let you out if you had an independent thought. So you had to make believe that you believed in those things. And so I'm telling you, it's the same thing in Hollywood. Hollywood's just a gigantic university with yachts attached to it. It's a university with private yachts and private jets. Meanwhile, the invasion goes on. Meanwhile, the invasion goes on. And it doesn't stop. And here we are, Ebola. Now, Ebola's a problem. I don't think I'm going to get Ebola. How am I going to get Ebola? What, airline bring him in from Africa? Airline halts flights. Gee, that's shocking. That's kind of racist, isn't it? Don't you think that an airline banning a flight from Africa is committing some kind of racism? See, if I were a liberal in the White House, I would say that you have to bring in more people from Africa rather than fewer. Why punish all Africans just because there's an Ebola epidemic? No, I'm sure you're not thinking the way Susan Rice would think or the way that Samantha Powers would think. What you have to do is bring in more people from these poor nations. Because they're suffering from Ebola, you have to bring more of them in. I mean, you're bringing them in from Guatemala with fulminating tuberculosis. Did you hear about that one? They just caught the guy. Where's the story here? I got to clean this up. I feel like a Noah's Ark here with the stories. I didn't clean the desk. Oh yes, Mr. Ruiz, they caught him. Here, TB patient found. Tuberculosis patient found arrested in Kern County. California man. who was charged after refusing treatment for his TB, was found and arrested, a prosecutor said Tuesday. Eduardo Rosas Cruz, 25, was arrested late Monday in Kern County, San Joaquin County. Rosas, authorities last week obtained an arrest warrant for Rosas Cruz, saying he was diagnosed with TB in March after going to San Joaquin Hospital's ER room with a severe cough. Medical staff at the hospital told him to stay in a Stockton motel room where a health worker would deliver his medication and watch him take it. Don't you love it? They come from Mexico with tuberculosis that's untreatable. Then they give him a hotel room with a nurse around the clock while your grandfather, who fought in World War II, was dying in a dirty hallway in a VA hospital. I love it. This is America under Obama. Rosas Cruz is a transient and comes from an area of Mexico known for a drug-resistant strain of TB. What? There's an area of Mexico known for a drug-resistant strain of TB? That's terrible. I think we should bring all of them in here and give them treatment because they can't get it in their home country, and it's a humanitarian thing to do. He was arrested on the San Joaquin County warrant during a traffic stop. Oh! Well, there's a case for the boys from Harvard. They should release him immediately. They had no right to stop him. It was probably racial profiling. Look, if the guy was arrested during a traffic stop, if you're a cockamamie left-wing fanatic lawyer from NYU, you immediately go into court, you get an emergency order to release the guy with fulminating tuberculosis that's untreatable. Not because you want to infect anybody, but the law is more important, isn't it? TB can spread through the air when an infected person coughs or sneezes. But you won't get it if you're a liberal, because you understand something. Microbes know if you're a good liberal. It's sort of like Santa Claus. He knows when you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. I mean, TB can spread, but only to mean conservatives. The tuberculosis bacillus knows if you're a right-winger, and it seeks you out like a heat-seeking missile. But if you're a good left-wing fanatic who has, let's say, done a die-in in Seattle against Israel in favor of the Gazans, you cannot get TB from a transient from Mexico because the bacillus, as I say, will bypass you because you're a sacred individual. And it's only mean conservatives that can get TB from immigrants. It's the red thing came up already. That means I'm running short of time on the Savage Nation. I think I've made my point over and over again. At the risk of your displeasure, I'm taking a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Open the show asking you, who will reap the whirlwind, Israel or the Palestinians? And we've touched that. The subtext of that question is, has Israel gone too far? Well, let me give you a little point of view that you haven't heard anywhere else before you turn the dial, because here comes the punchline for the last 2 hours on the Savage Nation. I, Michael Savage, see this Gaza incursion as somewhat of a proxy war with Iran. What Israel's saying is, okay, you push the Jews too far, here's what we're going to do. We don't care who dies. Okay, forget about it. We'll do whatever we have to do to survive. That's it. And if Iran wants to play games with Israel, they'll drop a nuclear bomb on Tehran. That's what Israel's saying with this incursion in Gaza. That's all. It's a proxy war. They're sending a message to Iran. Don't mess with the Jews. That's it. Put your mullah hats on and go pray to Mecca. Just don't mess with the Jews. That's what they're saying. It's that simple. So Samson is running Israel, and the world doesn't like it. They'd rather have Woody Allen running Israel. They'd be Woody, oy vey, what should we do with the Gaza Strip? We don't know. I'll tell you jokes. I'll be a comedian. I'll jump around. I'll make a joke of myself. That's a good Jew, right? You like me, huh? So Samson's running Israel. The world doesn't like it. They want a servile, step and fetch it, Woody Allen running Israel. They don't have that. They have a war hero running Israel. They're not used to it. What we have running America, God forbid, is the opposite. I wish we had a war hero running America. Then we wouldn't have death trains coming across the border. I've never seen anything like this. Goes and gives a speech in the last hour. I don't even want to mention his name because then you'll say it's Obama bashing. And he talks about Ukraine has a right to its sovereignty and its territory. We don't, though. We have no territory to defend. No border, no language, no culture. To him, the Guatemalans have a sacred border and a sacred language and a sacred culture. The El Salvadorans have a sacred border, language, and culture. We have nothing to him. Do you have any idea what's running this country? Academic leftists who don't even know what's going on around them. Everything they touch goes up in smoke. Now they want a hot war with Russia. Thank you for listening. It's been a real pleasure. There's another big hour across America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The problem is, and this is something, I'm not a military planner, but Hamas puts its missiles, its rockets in civilian areas. Part of it is that Gaza is pretty small and it's very densely populated. They put command and control of Hamas military leaders in those civilian areas.
Okay, that's the end of her presidency. Thank you. Well, welcome to the United States of America, the Savage Nation. That's the end of Hillary's presidency. It's over. Its candidacy is over. She just justified Hamas throwing rockets at Israel by saying it's a small country. That's why they put their rockets inside schools, because it's a small country. Now, you understand that this is nothing new for her. You get that. You understand this. If you ever, she'll still get 90% of the Jewish vote. Woody Allen will vote 9 times for her. But nevertheless, she just lost the election. That's if a Republican would ever play the soundbite again, along with her laughing for killing Gaddafi, along with all of the other stuff she's done, but they won't do it. Because they use advisors that tell them to go bland and vanilla, and they lose every time. In the last hour or two, I talked about, has Israel gone too far? And then at the end of the last hour, I concluded with a statement that this is somewhat of a proxy war, where Israel's saying, you know what, you've pushed us too far. Here's what we'll do if you push us farther. And obviously, they're going to create a buffer zone in Gaza. Whether they're targeting civilians or not doesn't matter. Civilians are dying. And as you well know, that's a tragedy for everyone on the planet. It's not good to see civilians die. But they're dying. That's all there is to it. And what Israel is doing, not only for the world, but for their own people, is they're toughening them up for the bigger battle. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm not exactly apocalyptic about these things, but Iran is watching very carefully, and so are all of the other enemies of the Jewish people. They want to see if Israel still has any fight left in it. They want to see if all of their own propaganda is true, that the Jews are cowards, the Jews are weak, the Jews won't fight. Just what Hitler said, by the way, in the 1930s about America. You don't know that. Hitler made the calculation that America was too weak, that the average American man wouldn't fight. He wanted to go to a Yankees game. He wanted to eat hot dogs. He wanted to go to a dance. He wasn't like the Superman that Hitler had bred with his Hitler Youth Corps, along the lines of what Hamas has been breeding, and the other Arab nations with the hate campaigns amongst young children, breeding not supermen, but super hateful men that are raised from the cradle to the grave to kill Jews and Christians. So they figured their own propaganda was true, that the Jew wouldn't fight, the Jew was weak, the Jew would give up, world pressure was against them, the UN would push them back. But they didn't realize that Samson was in charge of Israel, not Woody Allen. It's not Larry David running Israel with a Prius, making a joke of himself for a buck. No, it's Samson. It's biblical times. Israel saying, you know what? We don't want to kill him, but if they're in the way, we'll have to do it. We're creating a 1 mile or a 2 mile buffer zone. There'll be nothing there. There'll be rubble. We'll do a Hannibal on them. We'll salt the earth from here to Gaza. They didn't like Gaza. It wasn't big enough for them. Okay, we'll cut it in half. We'll give them a half of Gaza and a buffer zone with barbed wire and trenches. It'll be like no man's land. That's what they want. That's what they got. We gave them back Gaza, said, go build a new Jerusalem. Here's a nursery. Good American Jews spent $8 million. I'm the only one who remembered that. Everyone's quoting it. Thank God they listened to Michael Savage. They gave them the nurseries that they built for the for the Jews in Gaza that they were growing roses in. And they rebuilt all of them. They gave them to the Palestinians. They thought that they would grow roses and avocados and cucumbers for the European market. Instead, they tore down the nursery, stole the motors and the hoses, and immediately started to go and build with the billions of dollars in aid. They didn't build hospitals, museums, libraries. No, they built a tunnel system. And by the way, a little side note, they used children to build the tunnels in part because the children were small enough to be let, lowered down by rope to pull out the earth like in a Stalag 17 in a prison camp. And 160 Palestinian children died over the years of building the tunnels for Hamas. Many of the people in Gaza hate Hamas. The average Palestinian wants peace. The average Palestinian has had enough of war. The average Palestinian hates Hamas. They'd like them gone. They want a job. They want food. They want clean water. They want a school for their children. They don't want their daughters mutilated by ISIS. They want a normal life. But Hamas has ruled it like a mafia camp. Anyone who's opposed to Hamas was killed. And so that's the story of the world. It's a very sad story. But Israel's conducting what is in some part a proxy war to show the world that they can't be pushed around, they won't be pushed around. And although it's 2014 with Instagram, horrible pictures of civilians being murdered, horrible, killed, thou shalt not kill, okay, one story. War is another story. Terrible thing to witness. It's a terrible thing to watch, all the civilians dying. I mean, you gotta be heartless not to see the people crying as their children are killed. You gotta be crazy not to feel that, the anguish in the families. But on the other hand, you have another story going on here. In fact, several other stories going on, and it's a big proxy war going on. Iran has been flexing its muscles, showing the world how tough they can be. The throwbacks there with the hats on there, telling everyone how wonderful they are and kill the Jews and destroy Israel. Every other day out of the mouth of that filthy throwback. I don't understand this. The country was hijacked by these throwbacks. Iran was once one of the most advanced nations on earth, even in modern times. Under the Persian Shah, it was one of the most advanced nations on earth. You don't know that. And then came Jimmy Carter, one of Obama's advisors and mentors. And Jimmy Carter started to put out hate messages about the Shah of Iran. And the rest is history. The Shah was overthrown. They brought back that hater, Khomeini, from London. And the vile virus of radical Islam is now spread over two-thirds of the earth, all because of Jimmy Carter's policies. Now enter stage left, Barack Obama enters. And it's gotten worse. Same policies, different mouthpiece. Things are much worse. So Obama gives a speech in the last hour, not about his failed policies in Libya, Syria, Iraq, and the Middle East. Instead, he talks about a new war with Russia. An economic war. Again, like out of left field, Barack Odumbo gives a speech, new sanctions against Russia. And what will happen is Russia will suffer to a certain extent. The EU will suffer, and so will the United States suffer. But don't tell that to the academicians running the country because they've never held a job. They've never provided a service that anyone needed. All they've done is live inside think tanks and universities and now inside government, putting out their missives to the world without caring what happens as a result of them. That's the story in a nutshell. So I've asked the question, has Israel gone too far? I've told you it's somewhat of a proxy war and a warning to Iran that if Iran gets the idea that they can wipe Israel off the planet, maybe they're going to think twice about that kind of idiotic rhetoric because Israel will nuke them if they have to. See, I think that part of this is the military establishment in Israel toughening up their own population for war. Because they may have a wider war, God forbid, happening. Don't think this is going to end so fast. By what I see going on today, it's going to get worse before it gets better. No matter what you see, no matter what the world says, Israel's not withdrawing. And it's going to get worse. And the footage that's going to come out of dead people is going to get even more horrible. And the rhetoric against Israel is going to go up and up and up. And the anguish of the Palestinians will go up and up and up. And the anguish of the Israelis will go up and up and up until eventually they become battle-hardened and they're going to realize that they're in a fight for their survival and that they may have to take on Iran and that we may wake up and out of the blue Israel could attack Iran in the middle of this war. in the middle of this war without any warning whatsoever, without any further provocation from those throwbacks with the headscarves in Iran. You ever hear of a religious leader getting up every day and saying we're going to wipe another people off the planet? That's a religious leader? That's not a religion. It's not a religion at all. It's a political organization disguised as a religion in Iran. A mafia, in other words, so disguising itself as a religion. So they're saying, okay, we're going to wipe Israel off the planet. How many times do they have to say it? Until Netanyahu says we take them very seriously. We should take them seriously. And although we're in Gaza now, we can just as easily fly in the other direction as we are flying to the west. We can fly to the east. And we can just as well take care of business before it takes care of us. I didn't say it's going to. How would I know? I don't have any friends in high places. I have no friends anywhere. But I can guarantee you that this is just going to get worse before it gets better. And also that it is somewhat of a proxy war against Iran with a message to Iran. Go ahead, make my day. Netanyahu is saying, go ahead and make my day. Keep shooting your mouth off. Keep trying to kick Jews around. Go ahead, put us back in the ovens. Go ahead, see how it happens. That's what Israel's saying. Samson is running Israel, not Woody Allen. WMAL, what do you think about all this? John on WMAL in Washington, D.C., what's your viewpoint?
Well, I have to say I'm Roman Catholic. I'm Italian. You think you're giving the mafia a bad name, saying that the Iranian leadership is...
okay, you got me there.
They love life. This religion of Islam... It's supposed to be a religion of what? Peace? Doesn't Islam mean submission?
Yes.
You don't submit.
Yes.
If you live in Mosul and they destroy all your churches and they ask you to submit, if you don't, they'll kill you. This is what, you know, was going on with ISIS. But anyway, getting back to Israel, Netanyahu is a hero of mine. I remember the Six Days War when things were much better, when we had Moshe Dayan and they just conquered everybody, all comers, and I think every time that there's been a war with Israel, they were the ones that were attacked, and I might be wrong, but that's my knowledge, my understanding.
Yeah, when Israel, before Israel was founded, it was attacked by seven nations at once. They had hardly any tanks and hardly any planes, and by some miracle, they survived and became a nation. So there's always been the hand of God involved here, if you're oriented in that direction. But in terms of realpolitik right now, Israel's also sending a message to the wider world is, you know what, we don't care what you think. We're not going to go into our graves again. That's all they're saying.
Well, the reason I wanted to call is because you were thinking that there's some guilt for the killing of children and other civilians. If you take your child and you put them out in the middle of a dangerous highway and the kid gets killed by a car, do you blame the driver of the car or do you blame the parent that put the kid there? Now, I don't know how much choice anybody has. You know, this is an old trick that the Muslims have done. I think Saddam Hussein did the same thing to protect his military installations, and it's, you know, it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody. But
yes,
people that put them in jeopardy like that are at fault. I mean, this is a war.
Well, that's what most people who are rational are saying. But you have to understand there's also... There are civilians being killed quite by accident. They're not even being put in harm's way. By the way, that terrible incident in Gaza yesterday of a shell landing in a schoolyard killing six children, there's evidence that it came from Hamas itself, that they tried to hit Israel and it went short, and they killed their own children there. But, of course, the media wouldn't tell you that. It's a terrible situation, John, and I apologize for comparing the mafia to Iran, to the mullahs in Iran. You're absolutely right. I gave them a bad name. Here's a terrible story that just came out. I have to read it before the break, Neil. I have to rush this out. Just came out a minute ago. In leaked tape, hostile Obama tries to force Prime Minister of Israel to accept truce. Damning evidence has emerged of U.S. President Barack Obama's dismissal of Israel's position in favor of supporting the position of Hamas and its allies during ceasefire talks. A senior U.S. official leaked an audio recording of a telephone conversation between Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu to Channel 1 in Israel. In it, the 35-minute conversation, which took place on Sunday, the U.S. president appears downright hostile at points and even cuts off Netanyahu in the middle of his protestations over a one-sided truce proposal. You hear this? Do we have this on tape, Neil? Did we? It was just released to the TV station. Obama says, I'm reading this. I can't believe it. Obama says, I demand that Israel agrees to an immediate unilateral ceasefire and halt all offensive activities, particularly airstrikes. Netanyahu, what will Israel receive in return for a ceasefire? Obama, I believe the Hamas will stop firing rockets. Silence will be met with silence. He says, I believe. Netanyahu says, Hamas violated all five previous ceasefires. It is a terrorist organization which is dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Obama then says, I repeat and expect Israel to unilaterally stop all its military activity. The pictures of destruction from Gaza distance the world from Israel's position. That's your president. Netanyahu goes on and says, Kerry's proposal was completely unrealistic and gives Hamas the military and diplomatic advantage. And he goes on again. Obama then goes on again and again and again. Netanyahu goes on. Obama cuts Netanyahu off in mid-sentence and says, look, the ball is in Israel's court. It's obligated to end all military activities. That's the words of President Barack Obama, who has said not one word about the genocide being committed against Christians in Iraq as a result of his failed policies. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. We've seen with this proxy war in Gaza what even small rockets with very, very minor explosive power can do. They closed down, they almost closed down Ben Gurion Airport. Can you imagine if they launched 7,000 rockets at one at Dimona, where the nuclear facilities of Israel allegedly exist? Or what if they launched 1,000 rockets at once at Ben Gurion Airport and pockmarked the runway and made it inoperable? Do you understand what's at stake here? For whatever's at stake here, Israel's a small country with a very small airport for international flights. It can cut off their lifeline. So, look, this is not exactly what it may appear to be. I also think it's a cover for some other operation. I have a suspicion that there's a lot more going on because they're escalating it right now. I think Israel's going to do something else or is doing something else under the guise, or under the cover, rather, of the Gaza operation. Something else is involved. And you'll notice there's not been any protestations from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, or the Emirates. I want you to remember that because I was the first one in the electronic media to point that out. I was the first one. It's the first time in Israel's history that they have silent Arab allies who want Hamas crushed like a bug. I'm telling you, it's a very important point, maybe the most salient point. And that's why Israel's not listening to O Stupido in the White House. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the Emirates have said, go, 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 get rid of them now. Do it as fast as possible. We don't care what happens, get rid of them. Because otherwise they'll take us all down, and the world will really go up in flames. We have nuclear weapons in Saudi Arabia. You want them in the hands of Hamas? You understand what's at stake here. It's a bigger picture than you think. It's the Savage Nation with an eagle's eye view of the world.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are continuing to work toward establishing an unconditional humanitarian ceasefire, one that could honor Eid, which begins now.
Oh, come on. Stop at the... I get it. That's the end of it. If they don't get off their hands and knees and stop catering to Islam, we're finished. Stop with the honoring Eid. How about honoring civility? Start with honoring humanity. Start with honoring the rule of law, moron. Nevertheless, I don't care about Kerry at all. Doofus, Barack Hussein O'Doofus, is about to give further sanctions against Russia. The world is blown up underneath his feet because of his incompetence and stupidity. And so what he's trying to do now is create a greater war now with Russia. It's not bad enough that the sanctions are going to hit us more than them. You see, this is an example of academicians running the country and running the world. They have no idea what the ramifications of their actions are because they've never had a lemonade stand. They've never worked a day in their life. They don't even understand what they're talking about. Oh, we'll put sanctions on Russia. I was reading the Financial Times, and the headline is, "The West Risks Collateral Damage by Punishing Russia." It says, if you want to know how sanctions will affect the global economy, it is best to follow the money, not the flow of gas and oil. But the academicians in the White House, all of these left-wing fanatics who have never built a business or provided a service that anyone has ever needed, they've always been lifers inside a pension system, lifers in the university, lifers now in the government. They don't even know what their policies will do, let alone do they care. You think they care? The world's going up in smoke, so now they're going to alienate Russia, maybe start another hot war with Russia. That makes good sense, doesn't it? The world is on fire. Now they want a greater conflagration. Why? Because they're out of their league. They never should have been elected. I warned you from day one that this was a far-left academic administration, but you didn't listen to me. You said I was this. You said I was that. You blame me for being a right-winger. You didn't listen to my words. My words were correct. So now Obama's going to give a speech. Barack Hussein Odumbo is going to give a speech now, raising the stakes on Russia, increasing the sanctions on Russia. Why? Because Russia hurt us? Russia didn't do anything to us. So what is he getting involved in that for? What's that our business now about Ukraine? It's in their sphere of influence. Why are we involved with that situation? The answer is quite simple. It's about oil again. The oil interests want to steal that part of Ukraine that has shale, as I've told you maybe 50 times. And they want to convert the shale into natural gas. And they want to take it out of the earth. Now, the very same environmentalists who are on the side of sanctions against Russia, I suppose, will approve removing that product from the earth and turning it into gas. Because it's good gas. If the Democrats frack, it's good fracking. If the Republicans want to frack, it's bad fracking. This is the kind of insanity you get when you have college girls running the world. Susan Rice, Samantha Powers. Susan Rice, college girl. Samantha Powers, college girl. These would be better off running the Kennedy School of Government because of the lunacy that goes on there. But now you have the Kennedy School of Government ruining the world. They're no longer in academia where they're giving lectures and going out to a Chardonnay lunch with salmon and something appropriate. A low-gluten lunch after talking about world affairs and then going back for a nice nap. But their policies are producing chaos around the world. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Who does that refer to? Who is going to be hit by the whirlwind, Israel or the Palestinians? Right now it's the Palestinians. I could argue it both ways. And by the way, I could see it both ways, incidentally. This is not to say that I think that the Israelis are wrong for defending themselves against the constant rocketing. They have no choice. Their back was to the wall. The one thing that came out of this event in Gaza is quite clear. And I said it first, there will never be a two-state solution in your lifetime as a result of the behavior of the Palestinians. They sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. If you look at the latest pictures coming out of the Middle East, you see dense black clouds of smoke coming out of Gaza as the Israelis have now targeted and destroyed a power plant. And the oil in that power plant has gone up in black smoke. And so you have to ask yourself a question. When I say to you the Bible indicates that there's an answer to what is going on and what will happen, I have to ask you, who will reap the whirlwind? What does that mean? Do you have to be a biblical scholar to understand the question? Who has sown the wind and who is reaping the whirlwind? You understand what I'm saying to you? Here in the country that we live in, we have what approaches psychosis. Obama gave a speech the other day where he thanked Muslims for, quote, building the very fabric of our nation. I'm not making this up. Now, many people have said Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. Of course he's a Muslim. Both fathers were Muslims. Both his biological father and his adopted father were Muslims. If your father were a Muslim, you'd be Muslim. It doesn't mean that you're a terrorist. It means that you're a Muslim. That's all. Of course he's a Muslim and he's sympathetic to Muslims. But what he should understand is Israel has Muslim allies. They're called Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Maybe Obama could understand that part of his Muslim heritage. Maybe he could say, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but there are Muslims who support the destruction of Hamas instead of taking the side of the terrorists, which is what appears is happening under John Ketchup Kerry. On the occasion of a religious holiday, a Muslim holiday at that, he puts out a statement, says, I'm reading it to you now. I'm not making up a single word here on the program. Not one word. He said, EID, a Muslim holiday, reminds us of the many achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy. I didn't know that George Washington had a prayer rug. I didn't. I did not know that Ben Franklin had a prayer rug. I did not know that Jefferson used the prayer rug to pray to Mecca. But see, that's a product of my lack of education. I was not taught that Washington and the others, Jefferson, Franklin, and the other founding fathers, had prayer rugs that all were used to get on their knees and pray to Mecca. You see, it shows you how important an education is. I did not have the education that Obama had in Indonesia, where he must have learned that Muslims built America. I never knew that. It just shows you how bad my education was. That's your president. Now you understand why the world is in turmoil. But it gets even worse. He's giving a speech on the Ukraine. Now, why is he talking about the Ukraine when his policies have led to the destruction of Libya? Remember that? Remember what Gaddafi said before they killed him? He said, "Don't kill me." He said, "If you do, Libya will descend into chaos and the warlords will take over as they have done in Somalia." Hillary Clinton said, "We came, we saw, he died and laughed." Remember Hillary Clinton with Gaddafi as he begged for his life? "We came, we saw, he died." And the four horsewomen of the apocalypse cheered. And the band played on. And the Muslim sisterhood applauded. You like my NPR equals National Palestinian Radio? That's a good one. That's a good throwaway line. Yes, but keep giving money to NPR during their fundraisers when they play the Guy Lombardo music and Frank Sinatra. I love it. All year long, it's anti-American hatred, anti-Jewish hatred, anti-family hatred, supporting perversion, degeneracy, sickness on the public television, public radio. Then around fundraising time, they bring out the guys with white hair and blue eyes, and they play Guy Lombardo music and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, and they offer you sets of their songs from the 1950s, and they expect you to give them money. I just love it. It's just great. You do, and you keep giving them money. Look how nice. Harry, come on and look. They're playing Dean Martin. Should we send them $25? Look at the nice book we get of Dino. The next minute after the fundraising, it's back to hating America, hate the family, hate the church, hate police, hate the military. That's NPR for you. See, if I were president, they wouldn't have 10 cents. I'd make them all pay it back personally. If I became president, first thing I would do, just for fun, not only do I end the funding to NPR, I'd make every one of them go into their kitty and sell their houses and pay back the money they stole for their outrageous salaries. Every broadcaster, every administrator in NPR, National Public Radio, they have to pay back every money they ever took from us. They'd sell their houses and their assets. They have to take their daughter out of college and make her work as a waitress. But, see, that's why I'm not a president. That's why I'm not a president. I'm just a talk show host. It's easy to do these things when you don't have to do them. Impeachment fears grip the White House. He's pushing an amnesty executive order, and he wonders why people are screaming, "Impeach that fraud." 30% of Americans want him impeached. That's nothing. It's all right-wing crackers. They're racists. It's not because he wants to flood America with third worlders. No. It's not because he's spying on every American. No. It's not because he's using the IRS as a Nazi kind of thuggish organization to attack his political enemies. No. It's not because he has no foreign policy whatsoever other than to undermine our allies and support our enemies. No! It's because everyone hates him because of his race. That's all. It is the savage nation. What would you like to talk about? Oh, here's a good Pelosi. "We wouldn't have the Ten Commandments if immigrant children like Moses were turned away." That's the crackpot said that one? How does she get away with this? Doesn't anyone in her family take her on the side and say, "Look, auntie or grandma..." Can't they say, "Grandma, you're making a fool of the family name"? Earlier, the California Democrats said children should be treated like baby Jesus, the children from Guatemala. Pelosi said, "These are children coming over the border. They are children. What would we do if Moses had not been accepted by the Pharaoh's family? We would not have the Ten Commandments for starters." So she's saying all the children will be like the next Moses? So every one of them is a potential Moses or Einstein. That's very benevolent of her. So how come she doesn't have the same feeling about people who vote Republican? What, every one of the potential children are Nazis? The eyes are bug eyes. These are bug eyes. I mean, combine it with the Botox and the buggy statement. Something's wrong with this picture. Can we please have upper age limits on senators and congressmen? It's enough already. Feinstein's about 103 years old. Jerry Brown will be about 90 if he's elected, but it's an 80, I think. Minimum age, 80. Just what we need is an octogenarian in the White House. He's a real front runner against Hillary. That's really makes sense. That's great. By the time he went 80 years old, they'll wheel him into the White House. Okay, what else do we have to say? John McCain, put him out the pasture. Shouldn't there be an upper limit? I would say like How old? What do you think the upper limit should be? Okay, let's say 70 is the new 50 today, in some cases, not in all. In some cases, a 70 years old, like a 50-year-old was 30 years ago. But in the case of many of these people, 70 is the new 100. Their minds have gone long before their bodies. I mean, between the Botox and the surgery, you can't see what's going on underneath the skull. You can only hear it as it comes out of the lips. Here's another story for you. Man 80 says he shot burglar after pregnancy plea. Did you hear this story? An 80-year-old man comes home. He finds two burglars. So he shot and killed one of them despite her pleas that she was pregnant. Then they arrest the woman's accomplice who has been arrested on suspicion of murder for bringing her into the burglary. So the prosecutors want to see if they can charge Tom Greer, age 80, who said he shot the woman in the back as she fled from his house. She says to me, "Don't shoot me, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby." And I shot her anyway, said Greer, to KNBC TV outside his house. Now, Long Beach Police Chief Jim McDonald said in a news conference Thursday, the woman, 28-year-old Andrea Miller, did not appear to be pregnant. However, the surviving suspect, Gus Adams, has been arrested on suspicion of residential burglary and murder. That's interesting. So that's an interesting story. He returns home 9 p.m. He had been burglarized, remember, three times before. Old man, living alone. And he said the same suspects he thought did it before. He comes home after 9 o'clock. He finds the pair of burglars in his home. Both suspects attack him, hitting him with their fists and ultimately body slamming this old man to the floor, breaking his collarbone. Miller continued to hit him, McDonald said, while Adams moved to a safe and began trying to pry it open. The old man gets to another room where he grabs a gun and returns to open fire on the suspects. They flee through the garage and into an alley, and he gives chase, firing at them again. The woman turns and says, oh, don't shoot me, I'm pregnant. He shot her anyway. So now they want to charge him under California law. But under California law, how homeowners can defend themselves if they're in imminent danger of serious bodily injury or death. So now the prosecutors have nothing else to do. Instead of prosecuting the cartels who are bringing in the illegal aliens and destroying our neighborhoods, they're going to determine whether or not chasing after the suspects and firing on them outside the home goes beyond self-defense. That's all the prosecutors have to do. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Okay, here we come to the end of hour number three on Tuesday, July 29th. 2014, the world is burning. Barack Obama is golfing. I've said 100 times, Nero fiddled while Rome burns. Need I finish the analogy for you? But he's not just fiddling, nor is he golfing. He's a busy man indeed. He wants to legalize as many gangbangers under the guise of humanitarianism as he possibly can. Meanwhile, Ebola is breaking out in Western Africa. You say, well, what do I have to worry? That's the third world. You see, but Obama is bringing the third world to you. You don't have to travel anymore to have the pleasures of the third world. All you got to do is wake up and open your newspaper. What you see is invasion, deliberate invasion, at this time not only from the southern border, but there are illegals coming in from around the world. What he is doing is a crime. He is nullifying the laws of the land. Meanwhile, he permits illegals to protest outside the White House with impunity. They are his new acorn. The illegals are his new acorn. Meanwhile, Boehner has ruled out impeachment. Meanwhile, a top Israeli official has said to Obama, leave us alone. Meanwhile, Ebola fears are running through Western Africa, and we have the largest outbreak in the history of Ebola. It can spread like forest fire around the world. And if you think it can't happen here, then I say go to the beach on a skateboard and slug a few beers, because tomorrow will never come. On MichaelSavage.com, there's something you must not miss. It's a sound piece for you if you missed it. Michael Savage says the Muslim Sisterhood is running the White House. Really? I said that? Oh. Well, you can listen to it as a download. In Seattle, the dumb, stupid children from the universities who are out of school are conducting a die-in outside Boeing to protest Israel. They blocked the entrance to the company's office near Seattle wearing a summer outfit. Their arms connected by tubes, saying, Gaza, save Gaza. They have nothing else on their stupid, idiotic, twisted minds. Save Gaza. I would say, save America, girls. Get up and dress like women and save America before it's too late. If you look at michaelsavage.com, you can see the pictures of children digging those Hamas tunnels. You don't know this, but at least 160 children died digging those Hamas tunnels. You see, their size and agility made them good diggers for the terrorists. In Paris, Muslims were screaming Allahu Akbar, beating up police with rocks and poles. Isn't multiculturalism grand? Oh, and yes, one last point. In a speech the other day, Obama thanked Muslims for, quote, building the very fabric of our nation. Muslims? You mean George Washington was on a prayer rug? I didn't know that Washington and Jefferson were on prayer rugs. Who knew that Ben Franklin was on a prayer rug praying to Mecca? Well, thank you, Barack Obama, for bringing me up on current history. I didn't know that Franklin and Washington were Muslims. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. And God bless America.
Savage.